Good morning. When Rachel asked me to speak today, she gave me a choice of Psalm 46 to 50. So I thought I'd start at the beginning with Psalm 46. And she also said, although it's outside, you can have slides. And here they are. If you could just imagine them, that'd be great. Yeah, they're beautiful. I sent them to Dan yesterday, and Dan phoned me and went, no slides today. I said, excellent. Good, good. It's all going well. So as you can see by slide two, Psalm 46. That's fine. You'll see that God has a way of making these things work. So that more on the slides later, they do come back. So I will read you Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So I thought I'd focus on the start and the end of that. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So as you can see by slide three, I took three words back to the Hebrew. The good news is now you won't know that I'm mispronouncing things because you can't see how they're spelt. So refuge is the word marxei, which means hope, refuge, shelter, and trust. It comes from korsor, which means to flee for protection, to trust, to hope that God is a rock, a shield, and that he has protective wings. Strength comes from the word oze, which means strong, power, might, boldness, loud and mighty. It comes from orzaz, which means to strengthen or to harden, but it also means imprudent. So I had to look that up in the dictionary because I thought maybe I wasn't using it right. It means rash, to be able to take an action without worrying about the consequences of that. And still comes from rawfor, and it means to slacken, to be feeble, and to cease, which I guess means to lean into God's strength rather than to try and achieve things on our own. So as you can see by slide four, I have oodles of experience of struggles. They're all here. Some of them are both small and some of them are rather big. And I think I can talk with authority on life struggles. Some of them, through poor choices, I've helped to bring on myself. Others are either a sad or natural part of life and death. And some have occurred through no fault of my own. I was going to share a couple of examples with you. I'm actually now going to share three because of something that happened yesterday. So I'm going to share a major one and then a couple of minor ones, which I think would fall under the heading of don't sweat the small stuff, which when a book came out with that title, I found that sweating the small stuff is where you really lose a lot of the pleasure of life. But first to the major issue. Slide five. This is a beautiful picture of my mum and me on holiday. So my mum was my best mate. From the age of 21, we used to go on holiday every year together at least once. That's how good mates we were. And we also had, as some of you will be aware, a bucket list of activities that we were doing. So together, even though she was over 60, we did paintballing, we did abseiling, we did indoor skydiving. She liked that, I did not. And we did a host of other mad things together. In 2013, she became ill with COPD, which in my day, showing my age, used to be called emphysemia. And that was brought on by heavy smoking. As her body weakened, she became less able to look after herself, and her mental alertness suffered as well. So I picked up more and more of the general care for her while still doing a full-time job. So it was a difficult time. She was diagnosed with lung cancer in November 2016, and I moved her to a nursing home in Cookham shortly afterwards so that I could go every day, and also because she was very fussy about her food, so I could take her supper every day. And she died in May 2017. Now, those last few years were terribly difficult, and the last 6 months were devastating. So during that time, I really learned about how God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help. I discovered that fear is really cyclical. Just because you found God's peace one day or one night doesn't mean that you get it the next day or the next night. It's a process of constantly re-leaning into him and then doing it again and again. I found, as you will see, a few significant Bible verses that really meant something to me. So I recommend that this kind of Bible verse you kind of hold on to through the difficult times, because it really helps you find God's peace. I also discovered that in the darkest times, God would send the right people to me to provide practical help. And he just did it consistently through those months. We live with a promise that he will never let us fall. I have a friend at the moment who's just beginning the same journey. Her mum's ill and she's really struggling. There are a couple of key differences in our lives. The first one is that she is married to a truly wonderful guy. He is kind, he's intelligent, he's supportive, and he adores her. I'm single, and I live with my cat. But the key difference is I have a relationship with the one who's powerful. He's my rock, my shield, my ever-present help. And he's promised he will always provide me with whatever help I need. He's told me I can cope with anything. Thanks to my God, I've made it through every trouble that life's thrown at me, or that I've thrown at myself. It may not have always been pretty, and I may not have succeeded in greeting every day with a peaceful smile, but because of my Father, I've not just survived, I've made it through with the real strength of who my Father is and how he'll carry me. So that's dealing with the big stuff. What about the small stuff? Well, I've just returned from several weeks touring around Scotland with my aunt. I love to hike, not in a professional way like Colin Barnes, but I love being in the mountains or the countryside, and that's my favourite way to spend a day. So during our tour, we visited the beautiful Isle of Skye, which has got amazing hiking. And on one day, we decided that we'd do two small hikes. So we completed our morning walk, which was about 4 miles, very pretty. And towards the end, my aunt turned her ankle. She thought she was all right, so we drove for over an hour to the next place, and we started off on our 6 mile hike. But after a little way, Penny decided that, nope, she needed to turn back. But given that we'd driven all the way through single lane roads, we figured I would continue alone, take the photos, come back and show her. So off I set with my little guidebook. Penny and I don't do maps, we just do a guidebook, and the reason for that is we can't read a map. We once got lost in Surrey, and we found a group of proper hikers who had a map, and they said, don't you have a map? And we went, no, we don't, we've just got a guidebook. So they got out their map and they showed us where they were, and we went, oh, yeah, yeah, we're trying to get to there. And they went, oh, there you go, then off you go. So off we went. And they went, no, it's that way. It's like, yeah, that's why we don't have a map. It would do nothing for us. So I set off with my little guidebook. The walk would take me 3 miles over to the coastline, to a lighthouse, and then back. The track was quite simple, but at times there was a little scramble over rocks. And I like that because it makes me feel like I'm a real hiker. Now, for those of you who are old enough, like me, to remember the books or this TV series, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the character Slarty Bartfast designed the fjords of Norway. And he said of them, I quote, "That was one of mine, won an award, you know, lovely crinkly edges. And I found that the Isle of Skye, its coastline has lovely crinkly edges." Now, the downside of lovely crinkly edges is that it seems to take forever to clamber over rocks to get to where you're aiming to go, as something that you think is just around the corner is actually around six corners. So just as you think you're there, you have another scramble. Well, I made it safely to the lighthouse. It was a little late in the afternoon, so there were a couple of other couples there, but I hadn't seen many people on the walk. So I figured I would quickly admire the view, and then I would head straight back so I wasn't the last one on the trail, because it would be typical that I would fall and be stuck there. So I thought, off I go. So I headed back across the rocks, but I lost the path. And pretty soon, all I could see, as you can see by this photo, were hills, rocks, and no path anywhere. Now, this kind of thing happens quite frequently, especially to me with my guidebook, when you're out walking somewhere new. But when you're on your own, I discovered it's not fun. Suddenly, my lovely walk was really scary. I was lost. I was on my own. It was getting late. The panic hit my stomach, and I just wanted to curl up and cry. I thought, this is one of those things that's just become a real nightmare. Now, on the way up, while it was sunny and peaceful and lovely, I was thinking about this talk and what I'd already prepared. So I thought, given that I'm doing be still, I took a deep breath and I just focused on the words, be still and know that I am God. And I started singing the chorus from Waves. It was one of those awful things where you only know six of the words, so you just have to sing that six over and over again. Be still and know I am. So I just stood in the middle of nowhere on my own and sang. And I had a real sense of God saying, you're safe. This is supposed to be fun. It's the perfect walk for you. It's a bit of scrambling. It's a bit of challenge. Weather, it's beautiful scenery. Why have you let the enemy steal this from you? Now, as I've mentioned, I'm not a professional walker, so I know how to put one foot in front of the other, and that's the extent of my knowledge. So I'm halfway up this hilly, rocky bit, and I felt God say, just climb up to the top and you'll be fine. So off I set and scrambled to the top. And I got to the top of the particular crinkly bit I was on. And from the top, looking down, I could clearly see the path below. Who knew? So off I set towards the path with a very satisfied look on my face. Which just goes to show, if you're still and listen, God will take back what the enemy is trying to steal. Now, these were the two examples I was going to share, but yesterday my weekend went a bit pear-shaped. So I've just got back from Scotland on Friday. Yesterday was my doing the washing, cleaning the house, and finishing my slides. As you can see, they were a lot beautiful, beautiful, well worth it. So that was yesterday. And today, after I've spoken at church, I'm due to see my friend John. Now, some of you will know my friend John. We've known each other since my mum died. We met, brief diversion here, whilst three of my friends and I were sailing down the River Thames with four bottles of champagne in a hot tub. as you do. It was a motorised hot tub, and it broke down at Runnymede. And we were rescued by this man called John, who I'd never met before. And at the end of this rescue, he called out, he'd had a few beers, "Is any of you single and desperate?" To which all my mates went, "She is." And we've been friends ever since. Now, John works in Iraq, in Basra, so he's not often over here, so we struggle to see each other. But we're due to have lunch today. We're having a barbecue. The sun's come out, it'll be fine. So today he was due to come over. I thought, this is perfect. Do my slides yesterday, do the house. He's coming over today. Lovely. So I got a call yesterday afternoon. It was John. I could barely hear him. It sounded as if he was having a heart attack. He phoned me and he said, "I'm really ill. I don't know what to do. Can you come and pick me up?" He said, "I was going to Felixstowe. I'm on the M4. So I went and picked him up, and it turned out he was having a panic attack, which, if you've ever seen somebody have a panic attack, it's really quite awful. So he was in a real state. Got him home. I'm not very good with being a nurse. So I got him home, put him in the living room, gave him the cat, and went, "I've got to go and finish my slides." Left him there. I figured, when you're ill, you don't want somebody fussing, do you? So I went and did my slides, and eventually he calmed down. There's nothing like a cat to get you back on your feet. And he came in the dining room, and I said, "I'm really sorry, I'm preaching in church tomorrow, and I've got to finish my slides, because they're really central to my talk." And he knows I'm a Christian, but I find that if I tell people a lot about my faith, they leave by any door or window possible. So I tend to wait for them. I'm open about it, but I wait for them to ask me, which he never has, which is fine. But because I was doing all of this churchy stuff, we ended up talking about my faith. He said, "What does your faith mean to you?" And so I shared with him what it meant to me, which ironically is what we're talking about today. And he sat there and he thought about it, and he said, "So what you're saying is that if what had happened to me on the M4 had happened to you, you'd have been better off than me." Yep, that is exactly what being a Christian's about. I would have been better off. And I said, and this is a slight footnote to this, I said, the funny thing is, I was coming back from Scotland on Friday. I'd already arranged to go walking with my best mate, Barbara, on Saturday. And it's only because I needed to do these slides that I was in, because I cancelled going out walking with Barbara to finish these slides that are not needed. And because I was in, when John phoned, I was 10 minutes away and could go and rescue him. Now, he keeps talking about, "I can't believe you rescued me. I don't know what I'd have done." And I said to him, "Isn't that funny that I was doing these slides and that's why I'm in? I shouldn't have been in today. I should have been out. And therefore, you'd have phoned and I'd have said, 'I'm really sorry, I'm in Denham.'" Just goes to show that God has got such a plan. So in conclusion, when you're facing issues and fear bubbles up, I just recommend you take a moment and just lay it down, because it comes from the enemy. The Psalms were written to be sung. They seem to me to lose some of their power when they're read. When I was in the Isle of Lewis a couple of weeks ago, I was in a museum where a local old boy told me that when they used to have a confirmation or a baptism, they would all arrive together in boats, and when they left, they would all sing a psalm, and they'd sing it from the boats, and they'd sing it on the shore until they couldn't hear each other. Isn't that amazing? Gene Whiffin found a group called the Sons of Korah, who've recorded a lot of the Psalms to music. It's so powerful. The words really come alive. So I recommend you YouTube them. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a recording just as well, because we wouldn't have had it. So we're going to finish, and Scott's going to just sing Waves Over Us, which I just think is such a fantastic song for exactly what God is.